I'd like to thank our sponsor, Brandon Moyer of Made to Be Clean Cleaning Services. They use low toxic cleaning solutions to make your home or office clean and healthy. Made to Be Clean, your hive, our purpose. 484-509-7197. Hello, this is Brad Wiseman. You're listening to Real Estate and You. We are back in the studio for another awesome show. We got great information here for you. We have the Sheriff of Berks County, so I got to behave for this show. The Sheriff of Berks County, Eric Weeknecht, is here, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today. I am super excited that you're here, and there's a lot of information that we talked about before we went on the show here, and I'm excited to go over it because I'm actually learning things that I didn't know before.
That's good.
So welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you for having me, Brad.
Yes.
I'm very happy to be here.
And he's in uniform, too, so that means I really have to behave. Hugo, behave, all right? You got to behave. All right, so no, I want to jump into here. I want to just tell people how long you've been doing this. It blows my mind.
Been doing this forever.
Yeah.
I started in the sheriff's office in 1984.
So what, did you come right out of high school and go into this?
I was out of high school a year and a half. Years old. I went into the courthouse. I filled out an application. And then Sheriff John Kramer hired me.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
I've been there ever since.
No, wait, were you in high school going, geez, I'd love to be in the sheriff's department?
For some reason, I mean, ever since I was young, I always wanted to be in law enforcement.
Really?
And one of the things that attracted me to the sheriff's office was that they didn't have the age 21 requirement.
Oh, right. So the police force did?
Most police forces are 21 or older.
Oh, that's amazing.
The sheriff's office did not at the time. We do now.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'll start there and then, move throughout the law enforcement community. And I ended up loving it.
Unbelievable.
And I stayed ever since.
Well, yeah, you're still here.
I'm still here. Absolutely.
Same uniform.
It's changed a lot.
Changed a little bit. So you go from that, 1984 you started, then you go to obviously coming up through the ranks and obviously excelling at what you do, and you're good and your peers think you're doing a great job. And in 2007, you won the election or became the sheriff of Berks County.
Yep. Sheriff Joswiak was retiring.
Yeah.
I worked for him for 12 years.
Great guy.
And yep. I was started off as an assistant chief and then went to chief deputy. And when he said he wasn't going to run, I thought, well, here's my chance. I'm going to do it.
Now, was that the goal when you first got in?
Not really. When I first got in, I was looking at just using it as a stepping stone.
A stepping stone to go into the police force, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. And then I really enjoyed it. I mean, Berks County is a big county.
Yeah, it is.
So you have countywide jurisdiction and you have all kinds of things to do.
It's very diverse.
Exactly.
Very diverse. Exactly. We have our income wise, we're diverse, cultures, we're diverse, all diversity. I mean, that's what we have. You want to talk about the example of the United States in one county. We are the melting pot right here in Berks County.
Very well put.
Right?
Absolutely. Very well put.
Yeah. So you go to do that. So now you become sheriff. How is that going?
It's going great.
It's going great.
It's going great. I mean, I truly love my job.
I really do. And I can tell.
I have an amazing staff.
Yeah, that's cool.
They make it so much easier for me. My command staff, they've all been there for many, many years. My chief deputy, she's been there over 20 years.
Amazing.
And, it's one of those things where, hey, this is what needs to be done. And it's going to get done.
Yeah. That's, it's so funny. They always say a good leader is all about who surrounds them.
Yes.
It really is.
The jobs, it makes your job much easier.
Absolutely. And it's all about delegating and filling the spaces and the voids of who you're not.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, the reason I have Hugo is because I suck at all the other stuff besides just talking on this microphone.
Right.
And then I have Tony who does the social media stuff. And it's what it's about. It's about getting a team together and doing it as a team. So that's awesome. Well, you're doing a great job. There's a lot of, I was looking on your website and I see all the things that you've done so far. It's pretty incredible. Some of the things like the chaplain thing. I didn't know about that. Bringing the chaplain in 2007 or 2008. You did that, I think.
Yep.
And you're running again this year.
You're up for election again. In 2023.
So he has to be nice to us then, actually, Hugo,
right.
Because he has to be nice to us so that, we vote for him. Yeah. That's really what it's about here.
But one of the nice things about being there that long is if I don't get elected, then I just retire.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't have to be your typical politician and,
true.
And kiss up to everybody.
That's good. That is actually good.
This is the way it is. This is the Eric Weeknecht you're voting for. If you don't like it, don't vote for me.
Well, you got my vote. Just saying.
Well, I appreciate it.
And I know I heard your wife wants you to keep working too.
Yeah, she's the driving force behind that.
I've heard that.
Every time I bring up retirement, she's like shaking her head. No, that's not going to happen.
And she's a wonderful person, so I can't pick on her. She's a wonderful person. So let's get into some of the stuff I want to talk about here. When I set this up, I wanted to talk about sheriff sales. You know, this is the doom and gloom or ugly word, the sheriff sale word. And when we started talking about this, it started a whole new conversation, was that I forgot that you guys also are the ones serving foreclosures.
Correct.
So you see not only the beginning of a bad thing happening for somebody, and then you finish it off at the end. Hopefully not. Hopefully they can work it out.
Right.
And I just want to go through these numbers because we have a lot of people saying, and this is just a local thing now, we have a lot of people saying that, oh my gosh, it's the bubble again. This is, you know, things are heading the same way as 2008. But the numbers that you told me about that had happened in the past. Now, go over, let's go back. Let's go back in time a little bit. And give me the foreclosure numbers and also the sale numbers, because those are two different things.
Right, two different things. Yep. So you have a filing. Mm-hmm. So that's a person that's going through the mortgage foreclosure process.
Correct.
And you actually have the sold number. If you go back to 2014, we had almost 1,400 mortgage foreclosures in the process.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And almost 900 of those were sold at a sheriff's sale.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people
it's a big number.
Going through a tough time.
It truly is. Yeah. And the process isn't serve it one day, sell it the next day. I mean, it's a 2-year process probably.
Is that about what it is?
It's usually like 2 years till the people start failing to pay the bank, the bank turning around, trying to work with them, starting the process, and the process going through all of the personal service, listing it for a sheriff's sale, continuances, everything else. You're looking at probably 2 years till it would actually go to.
So people have time. They really do have time, you know, and that's the thing I think that is a good thing for people to hear. And we don't want people to go into that process to go the 2 years. But what's amazing is that they give you time. You know, you have time for your life and your financial situation to possibly change.
Right.
And you had mentioned to me before we went live that the banks don't want the house.
Absolutely.
They don't.
The banks don't want the property. And if you have a person who's in that unfortunate situation and they reach out to the bank, there's a lot that they can do.
Yeah.
The bank will work with them, you know, try to get them caught up on the arrears and do whatever they have to do, because the last thing they want to do is get a property, then go through the whole property of either selling it, fixing it up, whatever they want to do to try to recoup some of their money.
Yeah. And that's good to know too, because I think a lot of people think that, oh, it's the ugly, terrible bank is coming in to take over. Right. It they don't want the house. I mean, banks are not in the business of owning property. They don't they don't want it.
That's correct.
So so let's go now. Let's shift through some of these years here now. So we had 50, it was 1,400, and then 900 were sold. 1,400 foreclosures.
This past year.
Where are we at in 2022?
2022, this year, we had 221 mortgage foreclosure.
Okay.
Filings, and we sold 82 properties.
So what was the first number again? What was the filings this year?
Oh, the filings this year, 221.
So only 90, you said, then sold?
92 sold.
Yeah, see, that's actually good, because that means a lot of people, they got themselves back together.
Lowest numbers we've seen in a long, long time.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Now,
and I think a little bit of that is also people, when they get themselves in that situation with today's market, they're able to sell their property.
Yeah.
For probably a little bit more than what it is worth.
Yeah, exactly.
People, I mean, you deal with it every day.
Yep.
That's your life, being a realtor.
Well, and it's funny, we talked about this a little bit. The supply thing is what really, really saves the foreclosure situation. Yes. When you have a very, very low supply, it makes it easier, actually, for people to stay in their home or to sell it and get out of it with a little bit of profit.
Right.
You know, and you mentioned something to me that was really crazy. I never thought of, is that you had a couple of them that you sold. This year, I guess it was, The last 2 years, he had a couple that were sold that they actually wrote checks back to the people that foreclosed.
Yes. And primarily we had to change the way we were doing sheriff sales because of COVID.
Right.
We had restrictions set in place that, you know, we couldn't assemble so many people
and
do our sales. So we went with an online company.
Yeah.
And the online company opened it up to basically the entire world. So instead of just having some local investors come into the sheriff sale and bid against each other, it opened it up and people will look at the property and They'll bid from it, and it drives up the price.
Yeah.
And you know how competitive bidding can get.
It's like gambling at that point.
Exactly.
It really is.
And once the judgment is paid off and the fees, if there's money left over, it has to go back to the property owner.
Unbelievable. So you were writing checks back to the property owner.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've never seen that in my career until we started the online sheriff sale.
Well, that's a really good thing. And that's the thing too about COVID. There's so many things that I mean, as much as COVID was terrible, it was absolutely terrible. But thank God in America and with the way we are, we find the good.
Yes.
We find the good in the things that go on. And there are a lot of good things that happened since COVID. Yeah. And it's really, really exciting to hear that, you know, somebody might be able to get a check. They had a bad time and now they left and they're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I just got some money back. That's amazing.
Yeah. But one of the things, and we do stress this a lot to the people buying, not losing their home, but buying their home. Is they're buying it as is.
Yeah.
And they have absolutely no rights to go into that property because it's still owned by the individual. Yep. It's hit or miss. You have to do your homework.
Yeah.
You're also buying it with possible encumbrances on it too.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, the people who are buying these, they definitely have to do their homework, title search, everything else to make sure that, you know, they're getting what they're thinking they're paying.
I tell people that all the time, Eric. I say to people, you know, especially the first time buyers or, you know, somebody's coming in for their primary residence for the first time. I'm like, I really don't think it's a good situation to be buying a sheriff sale.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't want to discourage people from getting a great deal, but man, there's so many things that could go not so good.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, what's amazing too, is we had talked about this. What about squatters? Who takes care of that? I mean, there's times where these houses, you know, they're secure to a point. I mean, there's padlocks and all that stuff on and there's companies that come in and do that. The banks hire people to come in and actually lock them down, right?
Yes. Once we issue the deed.
Okay.
Then it goes to the new property owner. Then they have to start the foreclosure.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
the eviction process.
And the eviction process, depending what time of year it is, in the wintertime it's a little longer. It could take a while to get those people out.
Yeah, and you're talking about the person that purchased it, or are you talking about the bank? What about the bank seeing somebody's in there?
The bank would do the same thing.
Same thing. They got to go through the eviction process.
They got to go through the eviction process.
Because once they're in there, they're a tenant.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, I see. Correct. I was right about
that. And then the laws are, you know, the landlord-tenant complaint, everything else.
Yeah.
Follow through with it until you actually get the deputies to go and remove the people.
It could be 45 days or more.
Or more.
Yeah. It's 45 to 60 days. Because when I had apartments, that's about what it was.
Yeah.
45 to 60 days. Unbelievable. So squatters, that's a real thing. I mean, it can happen.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable. So let's go on to, what do you think people don't know about your role as the sheriff? I think sometimes what I see is some people confuse the police department with the sheriff's department. Because, you know, I think the reason why, too, is depending where you come from, like down in, I think in Florida, they're called sheriffs, I believe. Like the cops are called sheriffs, the policemen.
And they do actual police work. For municipalities.
Yeah. So what's the difference?
The difference here is we have countywide jurisdiction. Okay. We do criminal work. We also do civil work. Police don't do any civil work.
That means serving
civil complaints,
divorce,
all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
But we are assisting the local police.
Okay.
So we will not be responding to 911 calls unless we're asked to assist someone. But we have a canine division, which will assist the local municipalities who don't have one.
And I read you have bomb sniffing, you have all kinds of different dogs for that, which is really cool.
Yep. Narcotics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we also have 9 members who are on the county SWAT team.
Okay, cool.
So the Berks County has a SWAT team. It's called BCERT.
Okay.
And we have 9 members of that team on the beach.
So they're special
training.
There's somebody holding up somebody, ransom, whatever, all that stuff.
Right.
That's their job.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's basically what they call the SWAT is the 911 call that a police officer needs when they need help.
Oh, wow.
So if it gets to that point where they need help, they call BCERT.
And that's who comes out.
And that's who comes out. And they're amazing. I mean, their training is amazing. Their tryout is like an 18-hour day just to become a member of it.
Oh, my gosh.
So
pretty sure I wouldn't be able to do that.
No, I wouldn't either.
Pretty sure. They'd be like, you need to jump over this. No, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
So we do that. We have cars out on the street doing civil process. They also enforce the motor vehicle code.
Okay.
So if there's anyone speeding or
you can do that too?
Absolutely.
Didn't know that.
We issue citations.
Because I always go flying past the sheriff's cars thinking he can't do it. I do this. I actually give the, do the little sign.
Not real good.
Not a good idea? Yeah, no. I know Eric. No, but that's, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. Boy, so they enforce keep that in vehicle mind. Code. We also assist with, we had a lot of protests over the last several years. Yeah. So we were always there to assist with the Reading Police or any other agency that had the protests by giving bodies. And that's one of the things. I mean, Berks County, you said about is being
very diverse.
You have the Reading Police Department with a 100 plus guys.
Yeah.
You have some of the other municipalities where they may only have two full-time police officers.
Absolutely.
And so, Brecknock Township has maybe four or five police officers. Yeah. But their venue is they have the Speedway.
Yeah.
They also do the Country Western Fall Festival. Yep. So they have thousands of people coming in.
Well, like Shillington, the community days. That's one of the ones that comes up for me. I always think of that, Shillington's only so big. They don't have a huge police force. You got tens of thousands of people. So, I mean, it wasn't built for that.
Yes. And so we constantly are supplying people. Yeah. West Reading, they have the Fall Festival and all that. So we have a great working relationship with these police departments because they need
support.
Bodies.
Yeah, of course. Support. Yeah, absolutely.
So we handle traffic and also bodies at the Maple Grove Raceway.
Oh, cool.
Working with the chief there. Nice. Like you mentioned, with the community festival, hamburger festival.
That's a big one. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
You want to show a police presence because obviously
it works.
Keeps everyone in line.
You got that right.
It's an easy detail for the deputies.
Yep.
Just walk around, be visible and, enjoy yourself.
Take some canines maybe because that always helps
too. Yes. Yeah.
So that is good. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Like any stories or anything you can tell me about the sheriff's department or your job being sheriff?
One of the things that we are struggling with right now is, and so is every single law enforcement agency, is recruitment. Now, we're doing better than probably most of the sheriffs in the Commonwealth. We only have one vacancy right now.
Okay.
When I started when I took over as sheriff, we used to get literally hundreds of applicants. We do a written test. There's actually three written tests that we do. We then do a physical agility test, then interview, then background, then psych test, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But we just had, I think, 12 people take our written test this last process.
Wow, that's it.
Yeah. And out of that,
and that's not good because then you're picking from a much smaller field. Yeah,
exactly. We had five show up to our physical agility testing.
Oh my gosh.
Three passed that. Wow. So we have a list right now of three people.
What about retirement too?
And we have a lot of retirements coming up. We have a lot of deputies who are at that retirement age where they have to make the decision if they're going to go or not.
Yeah.
So we're struggling with that as far as, people wanting to get into law enforcement.
Yeah, well, I think that's nationwide, unfortunately.
That's nationwide, absolutely.
I mean, that's because, the media, the people out there, some people were giving all of law enforcement a bad rap.
And also, I think people really see what their job is now with body cameras.
You
know what I mean? Because you see the footage of body cameras.
Absolutely.
Where, you walk up to a person, next thing you know, they're pulling a gun and, you're...
Yeah. It's not, it is not for the faint at heart.
No.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
It is. Yeah.
And we got to spread the word. You have a question, Hugo.
Yeah, I have a question. As Brad mentioned earlier, I'm from Guatemala. And when I came here to the United States and I saw the respect, the integrity of the police, not only as an institution, but the individuals too, that I had the chance to walk up and ask them random questions, I always looked back at my country and said, what happened here in this nation to the law enforcement that is so much different to mine? Because back in Guatemala, they're all corrupt. There's no integrity.
Yeah.
But there's also no respect because the system that they have is just terrible. As a citizen, you can walk and kick a police officer. And it was so amazing to me to see the integrity, the respect that the people have.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
The degree of authority that you must obey, you have to do it. If you were to send to Guatemala, to other country, to establish that trust from the citizens and vice versa, how would you do that? I always thought about that.
Good question.
That's a really good question. I mean, I don't know because, like you said, I mean, I'm spoiled. Here in Berks County, we have law enforcement supporters. That's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
We saw it when we lost Deputy Kyle Paggerly.
Yeah.
I mean, the the people, the citizens of Berks County, literally lined the streets to say their final goodbye to Deputy Pagerle. And, you know, and I don't think we lost that.
No, I think we're 99% in this county. I think we're 99% support law enforcement, support sheriffs, the policemen, whatever. Yeah. I think there's other areas that's not the same, that's not that way. But it's a great question. And I worry, Hugo, that we would start to go in that direction. Because once that happens, you lose your country. Mm-hmm. When you lose law enforcement, you lose everything.
Without a question.
That's the whole thing we're about, is laws and rules and all those things. Well, that's a great question.
Let me just
make great observation.
I think that it's worthwhile to mention this, but you know, I think that it's great that you come out to, you know, do this sort of event. You come out so that the community can get to know about more about you. But also, you know, one thing that I noticed when I first came, and I remember I got pulled over in South Carolina by a police officer. The first time I was driving a car in the United States, I got pulled over.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have to say, you know, I had to think about what was I going to do?
Yeah.
Because I think that as a police officer, if I was a police officer, I will use my judgment when I see an individual to analyze, okay, you know, what sort of person this is. And I think that when I was hearing about this political racism, whatever, that police brutality, whatnot, I don't know what that term would be. But I thought, you know, when a police officer stops me, you know, even if there was some sort of association of what my looks, I think it is my duty to behave with respect, with communication.
Absolutely.
To break any paradigm, even if, you know, I don't think that's the case, but even if that was the case, to behave yourself and
absolutely
and talk to the
officer, the way you're raised,
be compliant.
It's the way you're raised.
It is.
You know, my parents always, you know, I always say this to this day, there, what you call white coat syndrome, you go to the doctor. I have the blue coat syndrome also. When I see somebody in uniform, you just get nervous. You want to make sure you're doing the right things. You want to make sure that person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I haven't gotten pulled over for a long time, but whenever I've gotten pulled over for speeding, you know, your heart starts pounding. You know, you get that whole rush.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It's the way it's supposed to be.
And I really think that as Americans, we just take this for granted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The cop did wrong, so that means they're all bad.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. And I think it would be really, really good for people to see exactly what's going on in Guatemala and these other countries, because they don't realize how good they have it.
Yeah.
There's always bad.
He says this all the time because of being from Guatemala.
Yeah. And in law enforcement, there's going to be bad. Every profession is going to have
realtors.
Someone bad.
Bad,
but it doesn't
producers.
Take all of them.
Not him.
Yeah. But it doesn't take the whole profession.
Absolutely.
Not
at all.
And think of another profession where you go in and you wear a camera and it records everything you're doing. Think about that.
That to me is what's going to turn most people away from that.
Yeah. I mean, 99% of the times it exonerates the police officers.
Yeah.
It shows that they didn't do it.
Which is the good thing, but there's times, where, you know, I understand why they're doing it because of the situation we're in with. Right. It's lack of trust is really what it is. Whenever you have lack of trust, what do? You videotape.
Right. Yeah. So, and the other thing too, you have to remember is, and I tell my guys this all the time, no matter what you're doing, you're getting filmed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But what portion of that film that they're getting on their phone are they going to show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to show the altercation before that provoked the cops to take them down and do what they had to do. Mm-hmm. They're going to show the last part of
the last part.
This is what they did.
Yeah, not the spitting on him, not the swinging at him, not to all the other stuff that he did.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to show the last worst thing. Yeah, I agree.
I have one last question.
Yes.
What is the strangest arrest or situation you have found yourself before as a police officer? It was just weird. It was just like
one of the weird ones I had was when I was still a deputy on the street. I got a court order for, it was a couple going through, I guess, a divorce, whatever else, separation. Yeah. And I had a court order to go into the property and take a bird, a parrot.
A court order to take a bird?
A bird.
Because it was on the divorce decree?
I don't even know at what point.
Did you think it was
a
joke?
Court order, take the bird.
So, it was a talking bird.
Well, how do you know to take a bird?
It was the court order. They had everything documented. So I went there, knocked on the door.
I'm here to take your bird.
I'm here to take your bird. People weren't happy. I don't remember if I took it from the woman or the man. They were saying, this isn't right, everything else. What can I do? I said, well, you can talk
this
to your attorney.
This isn't right.
Your attorney can go to court and all this stuff. So they obviously did that. I took the bird. Gave it to the other party. The very next day, I get a court order to take the bird from the person
I
gave it to. and take it back and return it to the person I originally took it from.
Oh my gosh. So they won then.
They won.
They won.
They must have.
So you were a bird deliverer for a couple days.
Yes.
Absolutely. Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. So I. Yeah,
now I know why you carry a gun.
Yeah. You never know. Those birds can be very mean.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's funny, man. That's really funny. Mean. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, man. I really, really appreciate it. We talked about a lot of really cool stuff. I do want to know how, if somebody wants to sign up to think about being on the Sheriff's Department, how do they do that? Where do they go?
They just go to countyofberks.com/sheriff.
Okay.
Go under employment. It's all electronic through HR. They just click the button. They do the application. We'll send them a packet.
Awesome.
Invite them to take our written test and they become a deputy.
Does it pay okay? I mean, is there okay pay?
Not compared to municipalities.
Okay.
But the county is, I mean, the county is a great place to work. They have great benefits. They have great retirement. One of the nice things, which I said earlier, is we have countywide jurisdiction.
Right.
We have a lot of divisions. So you could be warrant service. You could be in court.
A lot of different things.
Canine. I mean, we have a lot to
right.
do.
Right. Got it.
And we're a big agency. So
awesome,
it's
man.
Very simple. And we'll send you to the police academy.
We'll put that information on when we air the show. We'll put that on there. Thanks for being in here. I think it's great that you're very, very open about you know the department and what you do. And I think it's great. And that's why I think you've been here for a while. And I'm sure you'll be here for another, was it 4 years? 6 years, whatever.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Four-year term.
That's great. Awesome. Good luck with your election, man. I appreciate it. All right. There we go. That was amazing. We learned so much about the Sheriff's Department. Eric is doing a great job. The county of Berks is doing a great job as a whole with the Sheriff's Department. I'm very, very happy with it. So we will see you again next Thursday at 1 o'clock. Thanks so much for listening. Are your kitchen and bathroom way overdue for a remodel? Well, I got the guy for you. Call John Sellers at First Response Contracting, 484-256-7136. Both residential and commercial services, and he's licensed and insured. Call him at 484-256-7136, First Response Contracting.